Monday, May 9th. Welcome to Week 6. I am just so glad that Week 5 is over. We're turning a new leaf, new page in the book. Week 6 is here. And I'm really mad about something right off the bat. Really bad. Are you?
What else is new?
Yeah, I know, right? Well, here's what happened. I put in a $4 bid for Tyler Duffy in our Roto League. Scott put in a $4 bid for Tyler Duffy in our Roto League. Somehow, ooh, Scott won Tyler Duffy. Now I'm angry.
Wow, good call. The dollar amounts.
Yeah, I should have gone five. In fact, I had a $5 bid, and then I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to save a buck. I'm going to go four.
So I only need to go four. Who goes more than three? Come on.
Who goes more than four? Apparently nobody. But yeah. Anyway, Welcome, Scott. Welcome, Heath. Heath, are you ready for the Sucktastic series in the Bronx starting tonight?
You know, this is an excellent opportunity. I was going to wait to get into this a little bit later for both of your teams to salvage something from the 2016 season. The Royals have not been under 500 since July 22nd, 2014. That's the longest streak in the majors. And either the Yankees or the Braves could end that this week.
Oh, they both play the Royals this week.
Yes. Yankees, if the Yankees win tonight, the streak is over. There's two things. One thing that's very comforting about that is the Royals were under 500 on July 22nd, 2014, and they still went to the World Series. So if your team is struggling around 500, it's not that big a deal now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm rooting for them to go under 500, and they can go to the World Series, just lose tonight. That'd be nice. Now, we welcome you to the show. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com is the email address. FantasyBaseball@CBSI.com. We got a ton of stuff to talk about. We'll look at the roster trends, the most added players, tell you who we've been adding and dropping. Let's get right into it, guys. Tyler Duffy, I mean, we can start right there. The guy's like 13% owned.
Yeah, that's silly.
Yeah.
That's silly, especially now that Tommy Malone's been removed from the roster and isn't coming back. Nine strikeouts in this one after another good strikeout performance last time. And you'll remember down the stretch last year, he was about a strikeout per inning in the 10 starts that he made. It was kind of a close call last year whose curveball I liked more between him and Jared Eichhoff. So I think the fact that he's kind of a fixture in that rotation now means he deserves a lot more attention. My dilemma this weekend when I went to do ad drops was between Duffy and Nathan Carnes, who's more widely owned, so you may not face the same dilemma, but he's still available in some leagues and also coming off a 9-strikeout effort. The reason I ultimately went with Duffy is because Carnes' two awesome starts were both against the Astros.
Yeah, I noticed.
So he may
thing.
Just have their number.
Yep, but I did watch that start because Dallas Keuchel was pitching and I wanted to see what he was doing. And Nathan Carnes, his velocity is up, you know, enough this year. I don't know if I'd say considerably, but it's up. And he was throwing like 95-mile-per-hour fastballs. And Carnes had 20 swinging strikes on Saturday night. 20 swinging strikes. That's crazy. He's 54% owned. Duffy's only 13 or 14% owned. So they are on different levels. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think you can talk about standouts without talking about Nathan Carnes.
I would like to own both, honestly. But my rosters didn't present me with that option.
Heath, how about you? What are you
jamming on? A little deeper guy that's not nearly as high owned, only 9% owned, but John Lamb gets the Phillies this week. The Phillies are the worst in baseball, not counting the Braves, of course, against left-handed pitching with a 267 WOBA. And Lamb is a guy that his ERA was not good in his 10 starts that he made last year, but he did strike out 10.5 batters per nine. He's off to a decent start so far this year. I picked him up in the 14-team For the People podcast league and a couple other deeper leagues.
Is he going to be able to make the start, though? Because he left after four innings with a thumb issue. So that's something to keep an eye on.
Right. I think that there's optimism that he's going to be okay, but I don't think it's been fully decided yet.
There were a few pitchers who left this weekend.
Taijuan Walker.
Yeah, Taijuan Walker had the neck spasms, and Carlos Martinez has been dealing with some kind of respiratory illness. He thinks he's lost 15 pounds because of it.
It's a lot.
The only one of those three that I would trust in my lineup this week is Walker. He looks like a go. It was just a stiff neck, and he he just wasn't able to get it loose before the game. He tried to go out there and do it, but he said he was just throwing all arm, and that so they had to take him out for his own health.
Boy, I'll tell you what, Scott. We give Heath commissioner privileges in one league, and he can't even remember how many teams are in the league. It's a 16-team For the People podcast league, Heath.
I took commissioner privileges. You didn't give them to me.
This whole league was your idea. I didn't think it was a weekend where I was running to the waiver wire trying to pick people up. Tyler Duffy would probably be the best example of that. And that was like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I picked up other players, but nobody that I'm, picked up Chris Tillman in one league.
I had to pick up JT Realmuto in a couple leagues because once again, I had another catcher go on the DL. Catcher is awful this year.
It's the worst. Let's start two. Yeah, everybody's happy.
Yeah, I've got Kurt Casale starting in two different leagues.
Look, the struggle is the same for everybody, Adam.
Well, it's just terrible. I mean, I just don't understand it. It's like, let's start two kickers in fantasy football. That would be great.
Well, why not?
Two kickers.
Create some value at that position because it's so expendable.
Create zero kickers.
If
is the best choice.
If you were going to stretch a position to the point that there was some scarcity there, particularly when it's a low value position normally, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
I think it's a bad thing to have bad players on your team. I just think fantasy sports should not be about bad players. That's the whole point of fantasy, is you're taking good players. You don't have to deal with the scrubs of the world.
Well, is Kurt Casale a bad player?
Yeah.
He's on this nice little power binge now after doing something similar in a small amount of playing time last year. Last year, 10 home runs in 101 at-bats.
Okay.
And now he's powering up again. I think now that he's kind of pushed Hank Conger aside, Casale could be, you know, a guy who hits between 15 and 20 home runs is a perfectly serviceable number two catcher.
Heath, you seem to be, this early in the season, you're playing the matchups a lot, and that's something that sort of gets away from me. I really think more long-term with my rosters, but...
I am having a really bad 3 week. I don't know if I can call it a bad season yet. It's so early, and I started so well, but it's... I've got a lot of teams that need to pick up a win this week.
Okay.
It's some real struggles going on. Kind of like the Royals. Need to get morale up and pick up some wins.
Week six is going to be a good week for the podcast. I'm just feeling it. And that's the thing about Heath. He drafts so many Royals. That's why he's
true.
Been good the last couple of years. You know?
It's not true at all.
No, it's not true? All right.
No.
They're also noticeable, the ones you draft. It's like, oh, there Heath goes again.
Yeah, there he is.
Drafting Wade Davis.
If I take a Royal in a draft, it's like Heath just took six Royals.
Hey, Stephen Wright came one out away from throwing a complete game shutout at the Yankees, and he has a 1.52 ERA. By the way, Eduardo Rodriguez could be back for the Red Sox this week. But Wright is 73% owned. How owned do you think he should be?
Well, probably needs to go up from there. And I haven't added him in any leagues. I am always skeptical of the knuckleballer because aside from that one magical season for R.A. Dickey, I haven't known a knuckleballer to be valuable in fantasy the whole time I've been playing. But this is some...
Tim Wakefield was never valuable? During your,
he had stretches, I guess, where he was, but he was, it always seemed to go south in a hurry for Wakefield, and the final numbers never looked good.
I like what Chris Tower says about knuckleballers, that they are random number generators.
I mean, maybe, but it hasn't looked random for Wright so far. What, six starts in? The thing I like about Wright, there's a couple things I like about him. One, he throws the knuckleballer pretty hard by knuckleballer standards, mid-70s averages, and that's similar to R.A. Dickey, who, you know, kind of reinvented knuckleballing with this power knuckleball he introduced. And two, Wright has double-digit swinging strikes in every single start he's made this year.
Yeah, and he's throwing a lot of strikes, too. I mean, they were talking about that on the broadcast. He's hitting the top of the strike zone, but you know, knuckleballers, you don't know where that ball's going. He has pretty good control of it right now. Well, I'll tell you, let me phrase it this way. Stephen Wright was a two-star pitcher last week, so a lot of people picked him up. Now he's 73% owned. I may have made a mistake in one league where I picked up Marco Estrada, and I dropped him almost immediately. Had him in my lineup for the two-star week. He had a great week. Kind of wish I could get him back. I can't. How do you feel about Stephen Wright for those owners who picked him up for two starts? Should they hang on to him, or is he still a streaming guy.
I'm going to move him up in my rankings because I believe I still have him below Marco Estrada, and I don't think I'd want to drop. If I had him on my roster right now, I wouldn't want to drop him for Estrada.
I was really going to say the opposite. I think Estrada is worth owning over him.
But they're both.
I've kind of come around to Estrada. I don't know if you were on the podcast when we talked about this, Heath, but Jonah Carey's article on the way pitchers are changing the way they pitch won me over because he was kind of like exhibit A in how just pitching up in the strike zone when hitters are so used to looking down because that's what pitchers right. have been taught to do for so long, how pitchers are starting to have success pitching up. And that seemed to be that finally was an explanation for that turnaround Estrada showed last year and has continued into this year. I'd like to own Wright. I'd like to not be able to drop him, but prefer Duffy. I'd prefer Estrada. Probably prefer Carnes too.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, you know what? Let's look at what the people are doing. Let's look at who everybody else is adding right now. On waivers, I have the most added list pulled up, sorted by pitchers right now. So let's sort by all. The most added player in CBS Sports Leagues is Tyler Chatwood, 63% owned.
And, bad idea.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to be happy with this decision.
It's got to be road starts for Tyler Chatwood. It's just.
I mean, it's two starts. He was added in a couple of our leagues I saw this morning. It's so scary. I don't think like it's a situation where it can't work. Like, he could get you more fantasy points than some of these random one-start pitchers, but it's so risky. He could lose you your week.
And you know, Adam Conley is up on this list too. He's now 84% on. That makes sense. Matt Whistler Finally. Is one of the most added players. He's got two starts. Whistler has Philadelphia, and he's at Kansas City. I'm seeing it in a lot of my leagues. People are putting their faith in him. Are you guys starting Whistler this week?
He was the one. He was the two-star pitcher who was actually widely available, who I was looking to add, the one, because I like those matchups. Even the Royals matchup, I think Heath would agree that when they struggle, the pitchers that they make look worse are the big-time bat missers because they so rarely miss the ball themselves.
Right.
I think a pitch-to-contact type like Whistler.
They struggle with mediocre pitchers all the time.
Mediocre.
Yeah, I'd much rather add Whistler than Chatwood.
Okay.
And he's less owned than Chatwood right now, so.
How about two hitters that are in the top five on the most added list? You've probably missed your chance to add them except in very shallow leagues. Brandon Drury and Nick Castellanos. Both guys, absolutely terrible walk to strikeout ratios. I believe Drury has two walks to 22 strikeouts, but they're playing them everywhere, left field, right field. They're keeping Drury in the lineup. Should our fantasy owners, you know, is the worst yet to come from these guys? I mean,
I would say the worst maybe yet to come from Drury because we haven't seen a lot bad, but this week he's going to Coors Field. They've got several guys. David Peralta's banged up. Jake Lamb's banged up. They've got all kinds of injury concerns. I think he's going to play every day.
Oh, yeah,
in
they're
Coors
not taking
Field.
Him out. They're not taking him out.
I would expect they're probably going to take him out a little bit later in the year when he struggles.
Why do you think he's going to struggle?
Well, you just talked about a terrible walk to strikeout ratio. I'm sure, and I haven't even looked, but I will know in just a moment. He's got some.
Yeah, I mean, there's a regression coming, no doubt. But is he better or worse in the long run than Jake Lamb?
I still think Lamb's better.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's an open and shut case. I'd rather own Drury more now, and I think I will in the long run too. But I'm only looking in those leagues like the standard roto lineup with more hitter spots to fill because that's where I think Drury's versatility, third base, outfield, going to add second very soon. I think he's one game away. That's where that's going to be the handiest. He's kind of like a souped up Derek Dietrich, I feel like.
Yeah. Dietrich, by the way, in my FanDuel lineup tonight against Willy Peralta, who he has great numbers against, and Peralta's bad against everybody. Other guys in the most added list, Colin Ray, Jason Castro, Chris Carter, Jonathan VR, 39% owned. Marcell Ozuna's getting kind of interesting. He's hitting the ball better lately. He's 54% owned. Kevin Gausman, Chris Devensky, who I picked up a lot last week. He's a two-star guy who's only RP eligible for now, but just three starts away, I believe, from starting pitcher eligibility. Is it five starts for starting pitcher?
Yes, five starts, yeah. 10 relief appearances. Harder to get relief pitcher.
He's made two so far.
Well, I guess it depends how you look at it. You can probably get 10 relief appearances faster than you could get five starts, right?
Probably, yes. Yes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Did I mention any names that really pique your interest so far?
I was looking to pick up VR in a Roto League. Didn't, you know, my other claims took priority and I didn't end up with him, but it's a lot of steals potential at shortstop. And you're right, Ozuna, for being 54% owned, the kind of power surge he's on now. A lot of untapped potential there. I don't love him peripherally. It'd be kind of a Nick Castellanos situation where I'm picking him up because people who know a lot say he should be good. And I'm just kind of seeing the potential that maybe this is the start of that.
Who would you guys rather have?
Did Gausman lose his second start? Because he was showing as a two-start pitcher last on Friday, and he's not showing as a two-start pitcher now.
They had the rain out, so they might have pushed everyone back. I'm not sure. Because, you know, they had to add somebody. They had a doubleheader that they played on Saturday. So that's
right.
A possibility. I don't know.
I think he may have lost his second start. I still like him as an ad. 79% seems about right, probably.
No, he should go on Sunday, too. They're playing 7 games this week, and he's starting Tuesday. I don't know why that second ball disappeared, but I think he's still a two-star pitcher.
Aaron Hill hit 3 home runs on Saturday. He's now 10% owned, up from 3% owned. Does anybody care?
10% seems about right. 3% was probably a little bit low.
I actually had to care in the For the People podcast League 16 teamer because being stuck with Wong at the beginning of the season, Hill seemed like an upgrade for Utley, who I'd gotten to replace Wong. So second base is deep. I doubt most people are that desperate, but I was.
You are super desperate at that position.
I'll trade you Scooter Jeanette.
I don't know that that's an upgrade from Hill.
Are you serious? You don't think Scooter Jeanette is an upgrade from Hill?
Well, what does Jeanette do well?
Jeanette's having a nice year. He's walking. This is an OBP league we're talking about.
I've tried to trade him Joe Panik over and over again.
No, you haven't. I've tried to get Joe Panik from you.
He won't make a fair deal.
Okay. All right.
Okay, guys. Last guy I want to talk about is Brandon Phillips on this most added list. Brandon Phillips he's on fire right now. And, also another guy you could put in your FanDuel lineup if you don't want to go to the Derek Dietrich route. Phillips is a good matchup tonight. So he's like 78% owned. Is Brandon Phillips a must own guy?
I honestly thought he was undervalued even before this stretch with 5 home runs in his last 5 games.
He was undervalued for sure.
And not because I think he's suddenly a power hitter. I think those days have passed him by. The reason I put it that way is because I thought he was done as a top base stealer, and then he came surging back with that last year. So it used to be part of his skill set. Even if he's just a 15 homer, 15 steal guy, I think he's enough of a contact hitter that those are going to be numbers that deserve to be in your lineup. 5 weeks into the season, I was concerned about him coming into the year because he's 34 and, you know, had shown some decline in the power numbers. But 5 weeks in for him to be doing this, I think we should value him about on the level he performed at last year, which was must own.
I don't know that he's going to be must start in just a stand where you only start 1 second baseman. But yeah. He needs to be on your roster.
Who do you think will be better rest of season, Brandon Phillips or Devin Travis?
I read something the other day where they're talking about Devin Travis is not guaranteed a starting spot when he gets back. Like, he's going to have to earn his spot in the lineup.
Who's he going to have to beat out?
I assume, I don't know if this has to do with defense or what, but it's Ryan Goins.
Did he get sent down even? He was doing so poorly
at the
plate.
Isn't it Darwin Barney or something?
I'm not positive he got sent down.
They are not good at second base.
Ugly.
They are not
but
good at second base.
I mean, not to distract from the overall point. I think it's Phillips, too. That
right.
seemed to be where you were going. Because I just, so little track record for Travis, and we don't know, coming off shoulder surgery, how that's going to impact him.
Right. Yeah, he basically, and even the best thing that he did, which was hit for power that we didn't expect, he spent the whole time he was hitting for power telling us he wasn't a power hitter. So I wouldn't expect that to happen again when he comes back.
Guys, what are you doing on Friday night? Any big
this
plans?
Friday night?
Yeah.
I'm free. What do you want to do? My wife's out of town. I can do anything.
Scott,
wow.
How are you?
What's that?
Scott, got anything going on, Scott White?
No.
Oh, well, you guys suck because I'm going to the Yankees game.
You want to take Heath with you?
No, Royals, they're not playing the Royals.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go to a Yankees game.
Okay.
No, I don't. I'm taking my fiance. You know, last night we were talking. We said it's time to go to our first Yankees game. And by the way, I think I'm kind of getting her to like baseball, which is awesome. But we decided we wanted to go to our first game of the year. Got the phone out, opened the SeatGeek app. This actually happened. This is totally true. This was during the first inning as Luis Severino was serving up.
Not like the stories you usually make up.
No, this is totally true. Luis Severino was serving up a two-run homer while I was buying tickets on my SeatGeek app. Entered our promo code, which is fantasy. Search for some tickets. SeatGeek pulls all the tickets available on other sites into one place, so I saw all the possible deals. They were ranked in order of best value, and I found some pretty sweet seats along the right field line for $30 each. Boom! Purchased! And you can see what the view is going to be. They got a detailed map on SeatGeek, so you can see what your view is going to be like. And the best part, there are no hidden fees. Unlike StubHub, SeatGeek doesn't try to trick you with huge fees at checkout. So we got that promo code for you. It turned my $60 purchase into a $40 purchase. That's a pretty good deal for Friday night. And our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase if you download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. Enter the promo code. It's fantasy, all caps, fantasy, F-A-N-T-A-S-Y. SeatGeek is going to send you a $20 rebate after you've made your first ticket purchase. This is the only place I go to buy and sell tickets. Go to SeatGeek.com right now. It's awesome.
Is this the worst Yankees team since you've been a fan of the Yankees?
I was a fan in like the early 90s when they were really bad, but since I was really a fan, like really hardcore, yes. This is okay. The worst team in, I think, 22 or 3 years. They're terrible. And they could turn it around.
I think it's probably the worst in 25 years.
I'm not sure about that. You'd have to check. It's been a long time since they've... But look, they like you said with the Royals, I mean, under 500 in July and went to the World Series 2 years ago. Teams go through these stretches, so I'm not seeing it with them this year. But anyway, here's the big news. Garrett Richards, Tommy John surgery. Mm. So he's out for the year. That stinks. Jose Reyes. Yeah, we don't have to talk about Richards. Jose Reyes, though, 51% owned. John Heyman reporting Reyes is going to be suspended at least 60 games. There are about 30 games into the season now. It could be closer to 80 games. All right, we ready to drop Jose Reyes now?
Yep.
You go.
Mike Moustakas on the DL with a fractured thumb. Could be back in 15 to 20 days. Chester Cuthbert will start in...
Chesler.
Yeah, I even wrote Chesler.
Yeah, you did.
I could have said Elisha Cuthbert.
That would have been cooler if she was playing third base.
She's hot. She's very hot.
The losing streak would probably continue, though.
AJ Griffin. AJ Griffin on the DL with shoulder stiffness. Travis d'Arnaud had shoulder pain while playing catch Saturday, so call this a setback for d'Arnaud. All right, what is up with this? The Dodgers may call up Jose Urias to be a relief pitcher?
It kind of makes sense. Their bullpen outside of Kenley Jansen has been awful. They probably don't want him to come up and throw 180 innings combined between the minors and the majors. There have been aces that have taken this path and been a reliever in the first year and then started the next year. I don't like it from a fantasy perspective, and I don't think it's been definitive because it sounds like there may be some internal debate even in Los Angeles as to whether they should do this or not.
That's how I read it, that it has been discussed, but I kind of understood a subtext there. And rejected? Maybe that was me reading too much into it.
I think that was a little optimism.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that it'd be the worst decision ever for the Dodgers.
Well, as a fantasy owner, are you trying to get Urias on your team?
Well, no, I not really. I mean, if this did happen, you couldn't use him in this role, really, for fantasy purposes. So that wouldn't be a great outcome. And just... from the perspective of whether or not he could come up as a starter, I think Tyler Glass now is certainly the better bet to come up. I mean, Dodgers have so many rotation options.
Yeah.
Even like Jameson Taillon, who I don't think is as good as Urias, and I'm not sure, I'm not totally confident he'll make the kind of impact you want him to make immediately, but I think I would stash him ahead of Urias because that's how far back I think Urias is.
Now, if you missed the Cubs, one of the Cubs Nationals games, I think it was Saturday, Bryce Harper, you know, he kind of pulled up before running into an outfield wall and didn't make a play on a ball. And after the game, he said he's not going to run into walls anymore. He wants to stay healthy. And personally, I love it. I mean, that is great news if you're a Bryce Harper owner. Who walked six times yesterday, by the way? Oh, my gosh. Six walks, three of them intentional at the Cubs. Got on base seven times without an official plate appearance. That's a record. But I don't know, I think that's good news that he says he won't run into walls. He may not love it as a Nationals fan. I'm not sure. You might actually probably do like it because you want him to stay healthy, but that's a good thing. Devin Mesoraco out 4 to 6 months after shoulder surgery, so you can cut him. Evan Gattis was sent to the minors to begin catching.
Yeah! That's how we're going to fix this position.
There we go.
Well, he's going to have to hit.
Yes. Make catcher great again.
Begin
Evan
hitting.
Gattis is going to do it.
More like begin hitting. Yeah. Eh? All right, injuries
is he,
that
is
you
he going
need
to begin
out.
Hitting as well?
I'm not sure it matters. Like, that catcher's so bad, Heath.
He's bad.
Yeah, well,
he's
okay.
Not bad. He's
of
off
power.
To a bad start. He's off to a bad start. He could be better.
To his career.
He'll need to play
what
every
day. What do you mean
day,
to his
which,
career?
Which
he had 27 home runs last year. What do you want from the guy? If he's a catcher, you're not going to pick up. You're not going to pick up Evan Gattis.
I'll pick him up.
Yeah, exactly.
All my other catchers are hurt. I don't have a choice.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right, you got to check on these injuries. Brian Dozier, Domingo Santana, Nelson Cruz, Andrew Cashner, Hanley Ramirez, Neil Walker, David Peralta. These guys are banged up. Check on them before you set your lineup. All right. Now, we really barely talked about the pitchers from over the weekend. There were so many that were worth discussing. So they are in a bunch of different categories. Let's get going. These guys are owned in 80% of leagues or more. Did they regain your trust? And while we go through this, I will look up their matchups for week 6, and we can talk about whether or not you're starting them this week. Justin Verlander said he was going to dominate after his last start, and he dominated Texas. 7 scoreless, 3 hits, 9 strikeouts.
Second time in a row he said that and then done it. That is self-awareness.
There you go.
Justin Verlander, scouting report, self-aware.
He did not regain my trust, but this just comes into how much, I mean, if you have Justin Verlander in your team, you probably trusted him more coming into the year than I did anyway. I've had this talk with my teenagers. You can mess up if you've got a good history, and I have a lot of trust in you. But when I come in doubting you because of the past and something goes wrong, it's going to take more than just one good outing for me to trust you again.
Well, yeah, but Justin Verlander doesn't really have a good history. I agree.
Not recently.
Listen, my teenagers were perfectly behaved until they were 12 years old. That's 12 years of good behavior. The last 2 years are what I'm holding against him. But
all right, Verlander's at Detroit. All right, no, excuse me, at Detroit. He's at Baltimore.
Yeah. I think he's got a chance against them.
He's at Baltimore this week. Starter said Verlander at Baltimore.
At Baltimore?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's a borderline one for me. It's going to depend on what my other options are.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I do think I do think now might be an okay time to buy Verlander, though, just because I made reference to him doing this. This was around the All-Star break last year. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Guys, I'm very close. And then he dominated the rest of the season. So obviously the stuff is still good. I don't know. I know we've been saying that for like 3 years with Verlander. So that makes it.
Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's go through the rest of the
14
list.
14 starts last year. It was.
Rest of the list here is Colin McHugh. He's at Boston this week. Adam Wainwright. He's got 3 quality starts in his last 4 starts. He's at the Dodgers this week. Patrick Corbin has San Francisco at home this week, and Michael Pineda gets the White Sox at home this week. No, the Royals, excuse me, the Royals at home this week. So none of them have great matchups. So again, they're McHugh at Boston, Wainwright at the Dodgers, Corbin against San Francisco, Pineda against Kansas City. Do you feel comfortable starting any of those 4 guys?
They're all, I mean, not really Corbin. I'd rank them McHugh, Pineda, Wainwright as far as how comfortable I am starting them.
Yeah, 1-star week, I'm not really motivated to use any of them. I couldn't even tell you who I think is going to have the best start.
Well, I can't start McHugh at Boston. Boston, we gotta start looking at them as this year's Toronto in the American League. They have the best lineup so far in the American League. You know, the top 3 run scoring teams are all in the National League this year. It's kind of strange, but Boston's
that is awesome.
Is that because they've played more games?
I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just, it sounds strange, so I'm looking for an explanation.
Oh, is the Cubs, number one?
The Cubs makes sense.
I don't know who the other two are.
It's Rockies. The Cardinals and the Rockies.
Yeah. Rockies are pretty common.
And the Cardinals have, I mean, I'm not looking at their record, but it looks like they had the second most plate appearances and the most games. So they've definitely played more games.
All right. Well, it's tough to trust these guys, I understand. But if Corbin and Pineda are out there on waivers, are you picking either of them up just for the future?
I'm more likely to pick up Pineda.
Not. Yeah?
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe Corbin, but I know the deal with both Corbin and Shelby Miller this weekend. You know, they both had their best start of the season.
It's the Braves.
It was against the Braves. And in Miller's case especially, one strikeout. Yep. In his quote unquote good start.
Right. If the Diamondbacks would have sent these guys down to AAA and they had a good start over the weekend, we wouldn't have gotten excited about it.
Michael Pineda or Tyler Duffy?
Duffy.
Probably Duffy.
Okay. Next group. Studs being studs. These guys had good starts over the weekend. Let's start with the first two. Chris Archer, Zach Greinke. Do you feel like they are back?
Archer more so than Greinke, because Greinke, like, he's been better, definitely, getting that ERA down, but he keeps having these starts where it's like six innings, seven hits, you know, more base runners allowed than innings pitched, and usually on hits, not so much walks, because his control is still awesome. But last year, he led the majors not only in ERA, but WHIP. And
it's fair to note that a huge part of that is because he's getting BABIP really,
yeah,
ridiculously. And the main reason he led the majors in WHIP last year was because he had the lowest BABIP in the National League.
Right. I guess I'm comfortable saying he's back to pre-2015 form.
I think he's
still good.
I think he's basically, he's really close to what he was last year. It's just everything. His strand rate's 68%. That's 18% lower than it was last year.
Well,
so his BABIP's 360 against. That's 130 points higher than it was last year. And I had somebody, because I wrote about Greinke and four other aces that were struggling on Friday. And one of the responses I got was, well, wait a second. If he had a 229 BABIP for the entire year last year, why couldn't he have a 360 this year? And he could, but that's not the most likely outcome.
Okay, well, here's the thing about Greinke. He's at Colorado this week.
So yeah, I actually sat him in the For the People podcast league, 16-teamer, if we hadn't said enough this show. and I sat him for a two-start Alex Wood, which says more about Colorado than Greinke.
Right.
If Greinke was making two starts and one was at Colorado, kind of like Steven Matz is this week, that'd be different.
Would you start two-start Matt Wisler over a one-start Zach Greinke?
Well, if I'm doing Alex Wood, yeah.
All right.
I would say yeah. I would. I don't have Greinke because I haven't been able to buy low on him yet. But I didn't draft him. But I would sit Greinke this week.
All right, we're starting Archer at Seattle. How about Dallas Keuchel at Boston and Matt Harvey at Colorado? Are you comfortable starting either Keuchel or Harvey this week?
I think Harvey owners are breathing a big sigh of relief today, deservedly. It was against the Padres, but I feel like the fact that he had 10 strikeouts against the Padres, because it was coincidental, because the kind of stuff he was showing might have been a 10 strikeout effort against anybody. We've been worried all year about his velocity. According to BrooksBaseball.net, his velocity in this start was 96, average fastball 96.46.
That's very good.
You know what his average fastball velocity was last year? 96.46. So,
okay.
Right on the money. And 19 swings and misses. Only once last year did he have more than that.
It is the Padres.
It is the Padres.
I mean, this, it really is the Padres. I mean, they are as bad as the
Padres.
The Padres
didn't make him throw harder at him.
No. Here's the thing about the velocity. Two starts ago, he looked great. You know, well, I guess
this was by far his best velocity of the year.
I don't know about the three starts ago. It was three starts ago. He had a really good start. It was very encouraging. And then the first start of last week before this one against the Padres, his velocity was down. But remember, he was sick, Matt Harvey. He was sick on Monday. He took fluids on Tuesday. I gotta think that affected him on Tuesday. So yeah, this is an encouraging development. The fact that he looked better. Now, he should have given up three runs in one inning. I don't know how they didn't overturn that call at the plate if you saw it. Andrew Cashner looked to be safe.
That call at the plate cost me one of my leagues.
It was a bad call. But are you starting Harvey at Colorado? I am not.
I don't think I would, no. And I feel confident that he's going to be fine and that his velocity is back, and I'm happy about that. I said it is the Padres just because, I mean, they are the worst. They strike out more than anybody in baseball. But I've got to have a better option than one Matt Harvey start against the Rockies.
Yeah.
At Colorado.
And Danny Salazar has been awesome.
That's what changes it. I'd be more likely to do him than Greinke, though, because Harvey can miss bats better. But you know, I don't love starting any pitcher at Colorado.
All right. Yeah, Danny Salazar was the other guy we're going to talk about. He's been awesome. So let's go to the next group. These guys, studs being studs, part two. They're, you know, studs in terms of ownership percentage. They're owned and started. Well, they're owned in most leagues, but getting better. Jeff Samardzija, Julio Teheran, John Lackey with his second 11 strikeout game of the season. It came against the Nationals. And Marcus Stroman has had two good strikeout games in a row. Anybody really open your eyes? Teheran, Samardzija, Lackey, Stroman.
Samardzija is a guy that I think I maybe got a little excited about at first when he moved to San Francisco. And then the more I looked into everything, I was like, man, this guy has just not been that good. He started slow. I dropped him way down my rankings, and I've been slowly bringing him back up. I guess because his ownership's so high, nobody else got quite as fed up with him as I did early on. So good job, you guys. But he's having a pretty good start to the year. I think this might be the second best year that he has.
All right. Outstanding. And how about Teheran, guys? 85% owned. Last three starts, he has a .95 ERA, and it's come against Boston, the Cubs, and the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. No, I feel good about him. The velocity in this start wasn't as good as the previous two, and that's mainly what I was crediting for the turnaround. So we'll see how that goes. But I don't think I could be down on him after this start.
Would you be looking to sell Teheran now while the iron's hot?
If I could.
No. You would?
If somebody
he's winless, isn't he?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. I mean, do you expect him to win more than six games?
Well, I expect him to have a better win pace than zero. Yes. So I think his value is at an all-time low right now. That's my perception of it.
See, I would be trying to sell. Look at these last three starts. Look what he's done. He's fine. And see if anybody buy into it. I mean, I wouldn't be asking much.
All right, guys. Moving on to the guys who are struggling. Two pitchers that we have to talk about, Max Scherzer and David Price. How concerned are you about... I mean, with Price, it's very obvious. I mean, I don't know how much you need to go into it. It's velocity. And even the Red Sox are acknowledging it. And he acknowledged it. He doesn't have velocity right now. Scherzer and Price, how concerned are you about these guys?
Price was another guy that was in that article that I said was going to be just fine because he was still missing so many bats. But if you get hit as hard as he's getting hit when they do hit the ball, then that's not going to work. He's got a 29% line drive rate and a 41% hard contact rate. And that's just, that's going to get you killed. And that's what's happening to him. I'm scared, but I mean, what am I going to do? I'm not going to bench him.
Are you going to try to buy low on Price or Scherzer?
I would buy low on either one. I may make some offers today.
Okay.
Yeah, even with the velocity issues for Price, I just have a hard time getting worried about him. Maybe the strikeout rate has something to do with it. I mean, it's still off the charts. It's
right.
Not just good. It's amazing.
Even if we took out the 14 strikeout game against the Braves?
Well, it wasn't just the one. There have been a few great straight. Like he hasn't had all bad starts. His bad starts have been really bad, but his good starts have been really good too. So
right. They had one bad strikeout game, and that was on May 1st against the Yankees. He struck out 3 in 7 innings.
Yeah, and he's talking like the Red Sox are talking like they're confident he'll get his velocity back. A lot of times you see, well, he's just going to have to learn to pitch without it, and they're not taking that angle. So I don't know.
All the markers that we look at to see how unlucky a pitcher has been show in favorably for David Price. You know what his FIP is?
What is it? Like 210?
293.
293, yeah. I knew he had a good FIP.
373 BABIP against, 54% strand rate. Half the runners that get on base are scoring against him.
Okay, guys. I want to tell you about FanDuel because I'm not proud to say this. I don't have any of these pitchers on any of my fantasy teams. Steven Strasburg, Jose Fernandez, Corey Kluber, Steven Matz. 0-4. I don't have any of them, but I can have any one of them tonight on my FanDuel team. And that's the great thing about FanDuel. You can draft and start any player you want. And tomorrow you get a brand new team and you win some money if you do well. Now over 1 million users have already won money on FanDuel. You can join them. Our listeners win money on FanDuel. Our listeners love playing daily fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. So join the fun. You pick a lineup, you stay under the salary cap, you watch some baseball and you win some money. There's no season long commitment and it's not going to cost you much either as contests start at just $1. Our offer for new users, we've got a promo code for you to enter. So here's what you do. You enter your first league on FanDuel.com, either win a cash prize in that league or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, sign up with the promo code HOMERUN. No spaces, one word, HOMERUN, and you get that awesome offer from FanDuel.com. All right, guys, studs being duds. Yordano Ventura and Edinson Volquez are both owned in 91% of leagues. Would you be looking to drop Ventura and Volquez right now?
I'm probably going to give them both one more week.
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
Against
Scott?
The Braves or Yankees?
They're facing the Braves and Yankees this week. Mm-hmm. If they're not good, then cut bait.
Ventura, yeah. Really? Ugh. I mean, Volquez.
I've been okay with dropping Ventura for a while now, because
Scott's been down on him since he had a 2.2 ERA.
Yeah, really, I did because it was like in 5 1/3 innings and. Uh-huh. Just not pitching deep enough to really be relevant, even on a good team. And there's the walks are high, just not enough progress to make me think he's going to take a step forward, which he really needed to do to justify his ownership rate.
I didn't want to get into this because he's been bad lately and he deserves, if he's bad, one more start to deserve that. But I don't like, do we think that Matt Wisler is going to be better than Yordano Ventura? I just wonder if the expectations for what he could be have caused us to think, okay, he's not going to be any good because he's not going to meet those expectations when he's still probably going to be somebody at the very worst that's going to be a streamable option.
Well, I think I don't see why Wisler couldn't be better than Ventura. I think Ventura's ultimate ceiling is higher, but that's always been the case and he's never come close to reaching it.
Couple times he's showed promises, and you know what that was? Fooled you! we got to make that a segment. Are we putting these pitchers on breakout alert? We need like a siren here. Breakout alert!
Woo, woo, woo!
Thank you. Tanner Roark, Jose Quintana, Chris Tillman, Marco Estrada, and Ian Kennedy and Rich Hill. Roark, Quintana, Tillman, Estrada, Kennedy, Rich Hill. Who's on breakout alert this year?
Well, we talked a little about Estrada. I think all of them are. There is not a one of these six who I feel like this is just a complete aberration. Sell. Don't get sucked in. Don't be made a fool of.
Yeah.
None of them. None of them I'm feeling that way.
I'm least excited about Estrada and Roark out of this group. I've come around on Rich Hill possibly being good for a while. Tillman, I think, like, listen, we've talked about Tillman many times, and he just got Blue Jayed last year. And I think he's going to probably be about as good as he was last year when he didn't pitch against the Blue Jays, which is a mid-3 ERA. He may strike out a few more batters than he did. He should win plenty of games on a good Orioles team.
I am trying really hard to sell Jose Quintana.
Yeah.
And I think he's good. I think he's been so consistent for 3 straight years, basically, that the wins are obviously going to be a lot better. He's won 9 games 3 straight years, but 200 innings, 175 strikeouts, 330-ish ERA, that's a really good pitcher. I think you can sell him as part of a package to get a great player right now. I don't think Quintana's going to have a great year. I think he's going to have a really good year like he always does.
Okay. I guess that's fair.
He's dead. You know what, Scott? He's the Dexter Fowler of pitchers. Really good player. Sell him to get a great one.
Yeah. I just think he may have been underrated in fantasy coming into the year because of the wins like you were talking about. He had such bad luck with them. never getting double-digit wins despite consistently 200 innings and a low to mid 3 ZRA.
If he's been underrated for 3 years, though, I just have questions about whether you're going to be able to get value for him now.
I think
it's
can.
Worth a try. I mean, it's worth a try. If you're talking about packaging him and some extra outfielder for a legit ace, you know, Matt Harvey or whatever.
Right.
It's worth a try. I'm not confident you can do it, but if you can, great.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a shot. Okay, let's skip around in the notes here. I'm going to name, you know what, let's just do all the fringies. Fringy starting pitchers part one. You tell me who you like in this group. Jimmy Nelson, Wei-Yin Chen, Drew Pomeranz, Stephen Wright, Luis Severino, Shelby Miller.
The one I'd want to own the most is Pomeranz, followed closely by Wright, and the others can get out.
Severino, really?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not totally giving up on Severino. We all thought he was better than all of these guys coming into the year. I don't know that what we've seen this year is enough to convince us that he's not.
I don't know that either, but I don't think he's going to get picked up if I drop him.
Oh, I don't know, because if anybody watched the game last night, they're picking him up because he looked electric. How many swinging strikes did he have last night, do we know? He had 9
Somebody
strikeouts.
Let me look it up.
Well, Severino, this was like the last two starts have been 6 innings, 3 runs, 6 innings, 4 runs. He's given up a ton of homers, unfortunately. But I don't think, like, it was encouraging last night. It was encouraging.
11 swinging strikeouts. Sorry, 11 swinging strikes, which isn't bad, but it's not.
Yeah, I thought it'd be more.
I just think he's still young. I mean, he's still young enough. We all thought that he was going to be good. If he had 6 starts like this in July, I don't know how much we even would have noticed.
Yeah, that's fair. But it doesn't how much people notice have a play a role in a player's value.
But this is like a stud prospect. I mean, he's not, you know, that's the thing.
So
like, I do think he's more
so
likely
is Sean
to get
Manaea.
Picked up.
Are you afraid to drop Sean Manaea?
A little bit. I didn't drop him. Okay. I was thinking about dropping Manaea for Duffy, and I didn't.
I did, and I would Severino, too.
All right, Fringy starting pitchers part two. Nate Evaldi, Brandon Finnegan, Bartolo Colon homered! Nate
That's awesome.
Carnes. Evaldi, Finnegan, Colon, and Carnes. Who are your two favorites on this list?
Probably Carnes and Finnegan.
I would say that, but Finnegan, very distant second.
Why do we still like Brandon Finnegan? He has done nothing since like his first two starts.
Yeah, he had a couple early starts and then very few since and a lot of walks.
And yeah, you want to worry about wins. I mean, he's got one win.
Oh yeah, it's going to be tough to get very many wins on that team.
Bullpen is, I mean,
it's
atrocious.
It's more an indictment of Bartolo Colon, I think, that we're ranking Finnegan second.
Behind who? Carnes? I mean, I don't like Evaldi that much, but I would take him over Finnegan.
Me too.
Heath?
So you're not ranking him second?
There were 4 in here? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Carnes, 1.
I saw only 3.
Whatever.
I'll take the Nates.
These Carnes guys aren't that exciting. next group of fringy starting pitchers. Josh Tomlin, Ubaldo Jimenez, John Gray, and Doug Fister. Any interest?
It's going to be, with all these guys, so matchup dependent. But right. I still think I'd rather have Gray just because I know I'm going to start him on the road. Ubaldo, listen, it's just, we talked about knuckleballers being random number generators. Ubaldo can win you or lose you a week, and it doesn't really matter who the matchup is. It's just whether or not he brought the good stuff that day.
Yeah.
And you're never going
to
know.
Yeah. Only done it twice, so it's hard to get excited about it.
I don't really want any part of Fister or Tomlin, though.
John Gray is going to be the most interesting pitcher to watch here, I think, at least for the next couple months, because he is the most talented pitcher the Rockies have ever had, I feel like. He's been awesome on the road in his brief career, terrible at home. You'll take that if the predictability continues. You'd like to see him figure out a way to succeed at home, and you really hate for him what happened to Drew Pomeranz to hate for him to happen to Gray, where he gets so frustrated you know, I don't know that this is exactly the case for Pomeranz, but I know it was for Mike Hampton, and I know it's an issue for good pitchers that go to Colorado. They can't stand to be that bad. And so even though, you know, obviously it's known to be a poor pitcher's park, they're going to figure out a way to succeed there, and that can get them in some really bad habits mechanically and ruin them everywhere. So that's what I fear will ultimately happen to Gray. That's why I'm not motivated to pick him up, but he does look like a very good pitcher, just in a bad situation.
And I want to know if you're interested in any of these hitters. Jackie Bradley has a 14-game hitting streak with three homers, I think four doubles and three triples. Avi Garcia has a 9-game hitting streak with two homers, two doubles, and a triple. Brad Miller has three homers in his last seven games, and that's it. Bradley, Avi Garcia, Brad Miller, different ownership percentages, but anything really changing with these guys?
I don't really think so. I'd probably be most interested in Brad Miller, just because in Roto, there's more likely that for me at least, that I'm struggling at middle infield or shortstop than I am in the outfield. Mm-hmm. But I'm not real interested in Brad Miller.
Okay. In the bullpen, Alex Colomé saved three games over the weekend. He has 9 saves and 9 chances. Do you think it is a certainty that Brad Boxberger returns as the closer for the Rays?
I don't think so. I hope he doesn't, because I have a lot more invested in Colomé. But he was so bad in the second half, Boxberger, that is, that I just hope they see what Colomé's doing now and decide to ease Boxberger back in a way that means he never regains it.
I don't think either one's a certainty.
Yeah.
It's kind of up in the air.
Yep.
And then I don't know, who's the Reds' closer? Tony Cingrani got a 5-out save on Friday. It was a 5-1 game when he came in. Ross Ohlendorf pitched the 9th inning of a tie game at home on Saturday. I honestly don't care. Have to be a 14 team. Yeah.
You know who I think the Reds reliever to own is?
Who?
J.J. Hoover, who's now in the minors. I think he has the best chance of somehow figuring something out there, mm-hmm. and then coming back and closing for the Reds again, which is not an exciting prospect, but that's who I think has the best chance of holding down that role long term.
I think it's a closer on a different team.
Yeah, well, that may not be an option, but yeah.
Heath.
Yeah.
A lot of bad pitchers on the mound tonight.
A lot of good fable hitters. It's a real problem, because there's a game at Coors. Anytime the Rockies are at home, the first thing I think everybody looks for is, who is the cheap pitcher I can use so I can play all the players playing at Coors Field? I think the best option for a cheap pitcher tonight is probably Jose Berríos. And Berríos is going up against the Orioles, which is not a good matchup, but he's at home at least. Other than that, you may just have to pick one or two players from that game to play and stack a different game.
How much is Aaron Sanchez?
Aaron Sanchez is only 7,100.
I mean, I don't love the matchup, but I think he's going to win because Jake Peavy is one of the worst pitchers in baseball.
Yeah. So, he's not good, but he's of course always been better at home too. That's not terrible.
Good day to fade Coors, maybe. Isn't it Matt's going against the Rockies? Or
No. It's the Diamondbacks. Okay. So we've got a pitching matchup of Chatwood and, I believe, Archie Bradley.
You're right. Yeah, that's.
I don't think it's a good day to fade Coors.
You're right.
I'll probably have quite a few Royals and Yankees in my lineup with Nova and Chris Young going up against each other in Yankee Stadium. I will, if I could only play one or two players from this game, from Coors, Carlos Gonzalez is only 3,900. He'd be one of my favorites. I think I like the Rockies better than I do the Diamondbacks. Chetwood's on a pretty good little run right now. I don't expect him to be good, but I mean, this could turn into a bullpen game really quick for the Diamondbacks.
Okay. So how about this lineup? I got Aaron Sanchez. I think the Marlins are going to have a big game against Willy Peralta. JT Realmuto, I'm not sure if he's going to lead off, but that would be nice. Paul Goldschmidt, Derek Dietrich, Brandon Drury, Trevor Story. So I got three guys in that game. Brett Gardner, Alex Gordon, and Nomar Mazara against Miguel Gonzalez.
I kind of like it.
All right, not bad. Give it a shot out there. Let's read some emails. and listen to the Daily Fantasy Live podcast for more. Fantasy baseball at CBSI.com. This is from Ben in Bama. He says, "Dear Jolene, coat of many colors and islands in the stream."
Okay.
I know Islands in the Stream. That's, you know, what Ghetto Superstar was. Islands in the Stream. That is what we are. Something
Kenny like Rogers, right?
Yeah, I think Dolly Parton, maybe.
Yeah.
Ben asks, "I need to start three from this list. Aledmys Diaz, Jung Ho Gong." Oh, two home runs in his return. Javier Baez, Anthony Rendon, and Troy Tulowitzki. Pick three.
Diaz, Gong, Rendon.
Diaz, Rendon, Tulo, because Gong has was only playing two of three games for now.
Joe from London, would you bench Matt Harvey for Matt Whistler? I think we answered that.
At Colorado, well, I said that I would bench Greinke for Whistler at Colorado. Harvey being at Colorado, yeah, I think I'd do that too.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you guys apparently have to go. Is that right?
Very shortly.
Okay, so let's see what we can get done here. Brendan in Phoenix, do Nola or Velasquez have innings limits? Should we trade them now?
You hear more for Velasquez than Nola. I'm not sure how many innings Nola threw last year, but I don't think it's as big of a concern for him. I'd rather not trade them now. I think maybe early June, mid-June, we could talk about it. I don't think Velasquez's return would be at a peak right now either, because his last start wasn't so great. And yeah, I'd wait.
Arietta, James from the home of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, wants to know if you're worried about all the walks from Jake Arietta lately.
A little.
Four walks in three of his last four games.
I think there are much bigger things to worry about for other aces, so I don't like to spend my whole life worrying. He has a sub-1 ERA.
Very well said. Let's do a trade involving Jose Altuve. This is from Nick. 10-team categories league. Altuve and Syndergaard. Give up Altuve and Syndergaard for Goldschmidt, Mookie Betts, and Kenta Maeda. Wow. What do you think?
I was looking up Arrieta's ERA. It's actually 113 now, but the point remains. Okay, so this trade, Altuve and Syndergaard for Goldie, Mookie, and Maeda.
I think I'd do it. I don't like doing it.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. I did make a trade in the podcast league this last week that was basically Syndergaard for Goldie, some other parts thrown in. But then you throw Altuve in there. I think Altuve's a better player than all around than Goldie right now. I don't think I'd do it, but it's a close call.
Okay.
I think rest of season, Altuve over Goldie.
And by the way,
I'm saying if we were drafting again, I think I would draft Altuve over Goldie. Yes.
Ooh, wow. Okay. Altuve stole three bases on Sunday. Finally, Andrew wants to know if you could sit Paul Goldschmidt for Big Poppy or Victor Martinez. Would you guys do that?
I think V-Mart has a couple games on the road in a National League park this week.
He does.
So no chance. And anyways, I'm not sitting Goldschmidt for either one of those guys.
Yeah, he's got the Rockies on the road this week. So let's get right, Paul Goldschmidt. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I know I got to let you guys go, so I do appreciate it. Scott White and Heath Cummings back tomorrow. Going to talk about some players that are off to horribly slow starts and how worried we are. We'll see you later.
See ya.